welcome to this bonus episode of the Discotech Podcast. Today we're joined by special guest Noah Averbach-Katz.
Hi.
Hi, everybody. How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. So happy to be here and happy to talk with you guys.
Yeah, no problem. We're excited you're able to come.
Yeah.
We loved watching that video that you had on Twitter of your Star Trek fandom through the years. How did you get into Trek?
Oh, well, I would say I got into Trek through my mother. You know, she is just a huge Trekkie and has sort of brought me along for the ride. I can't really remember a time when Star Trek was not on or around or happening, or that there weren't action figures or magazines or comm badges in the house somewhere. She's the one who sort of brought me to all of those Star Trek conventions that all the pictures are from. And it just sort of stuck, you know, just was such a big part of the family and the family lore and the family identity that it just sort of stuck with me. You know, when I was in undergrad, one of the pictures is with me, with her kind of looking up at me. I'm probably in my early 20s. And I did a syndication vindication at undergrad, where I played Riker in, you know, one of the Groundhog's Day episodes. We basically did like a live version, live performance of the episode. And, oh, wow. And just like sort of always looking out for ways to be involved or things to see, or, you know, it just sort of stuck around. And then of course, when, you know, Mary, got the job, then it was like, oh, well, now it's really in the family.
Yeah.
What was your first Star Trek cosplay?
You know, when I was dressing up, there was not really such a thing as cosplay, you know?
Like, yeah.
It was like you have your uniform or whatever. And I was always a little bit resistant to dressing up too much, because it was still my mom and I was still 13, you know? But gosh, you know, I actually think my favorite Star Trek cosplay was that when my mom... The last Star Trek we went to, like, as a convention we went to as a family, more so because we've just been busy or in different parts of the country, not because we haven't wanted to go, was in 2013. There was a Chicago convention. And my dad wore a Next Generation shoulder padded pips and everything communicator on uniform, and I think that was the moment when I was like, oh yeah, this is the family, this is it, there's no escaping it, Dad, you can't pretend like it's not happening. So I think I think even in that picture of all of us and Patrick Stewart together, he's wearing that, and it was like, that was the moment when I think, you know, he really fully, after all these years, 30 whatever years of marriage, he absolutely embraced it and was like, you know what, there's no way out. I can only go deeper in. And he really went for it. And I think just, he's taking pictures with people dressed up as the Borg and, you know, totally having conversation. I think that was the moment when it was like, all right, this is a point of no return. He's all in. So I think personally, that might be my favorite Star Trek cosplay.
Cool. How long, so for the show, how long did it take to get into the makeup for the role of Rin?
So in 306, that, I don't know if you guys saw that video, the time-lapse video posted, but it took 5.5 hours to get that makeup done.
Oh my
God. Now, a lot of that is because you can see in 306 that Rin has like sort of stubble, almost like a little beard.
Right.
One of the reasons that prosthetic took so long to finish was because that beard had to be glued to the prosthetic, essentially strand by strand. It wasn't sort of a lay on. It was a beard that was laid on, but I honestly have no idea why it was this way, but, you know, my prosthetics people are geniuses, so I'm sure they had their reason, but it was laid on, but it was like long. It was almost like each strand was about 3 inches long. So it had to be glued on strand by strand onto the face and then trimmed up to fit the face. So that added a huge amount of time to it. So all in all, it took about 5.5 hours, which is insane. It was so crazy. But it was, it was all worth it. And the prosthetics people were so great and they made me look amazing. I mean, I think the thing I didn't even understand is that the mask itself is really like a big piece of rubber that's sort of cut out and that's dyed vaguely blue. Like if you put that on your face, it looks like nothing. It looks like you're wearing a cheap Halloween mask of a Smurf. And so the reason why it looks as good as it does is because they hand paint this thing multiple times over every single time you put it on to give it texture and depth and personality. So the reason it looks real is because it's hand painted every single time. And then when they're done, they cut it off your face and they throw it in the trash and you start over from the beginning the next day.
Wow.
Oh, how did it feel to film your first scene on Star Trek?
It's so funny. So my first scene was actually the last scene of 306 where I'm laying on the hospital bed. So I'm not doing anything, you know? I was so excited to get to lay in a medbay bed and wear the sort of like weird future robe that's all like sparkly and white. And even the bed itself, you know, the like projections around, like, you know, like the medical readouts around are actually on LCD TVs that are built into the wall of the set. So I could look up and see like the body scan of an Andorian and their interior, you know, heart and all that stuff. And I was so excited. I couldn't believe it. It was like, it feels like such a rite of passage to get to lay on a med bed and like, you know, be there unconscious while people talk over you. So Star Trek. So I was so excited. And basically, you know, Sinequa and David have this little conversation above me and then they walk away. That's essentially the scene. Forgive my cat in the background. So I'm laying there on my back and they're essentially doing a rehearsal, you know, where it's like nobody's shooting. They're just practicing how they're going to do it, where they're going to stand, yada, yada, yada. And so I'm laying on the bed. My eyes are open and I'm looking up and just smiling at them. Because I'm having a total out-of-body experience. I'm so excited. I'm having such a good time. I can't believe it. And Sinequa, you know, is the sweetest person in the world. So she, you know, she looks down at me and she's like looking at me. And I think she's like genuinely curious. She's like, is that how you're going to be the whole scene?
Yeah.
I think she was like, is he like in some weird paralyzed state where he's just staring at me smiling? And so then I realized, I was like, oh my God, like this is the moment where I have to cross over from fandom into an actor who like has to, you know, lay there and be still, which was incredibly difficult because I just wanted to smile the whole time. So that was my first moment of actually acting on Star Trek.
That's great.
Well, I was curious how and when did you first get into D&D?
Oh yeah. So Mary, it's a weird route because Mary listened to the Adventure Zone a lot. So I started listening to the Adventure Zone kind of through her. And then one of my friends, my friend Adam Langdon, who's a close friend of mine from school, from Juilliard, he posted on like Facebook or something like, hey, you know, I want to play this game. Anybody want to join me? And I've been kind of, it seems so fun. I've been looking for a way in. So I said, yes, Adam, I'm in. It'll be a good time for to hang out. I'm totally in. And I don't know if you have this experience, but D&D is a great game to play when you're super depressed and things aren't going well for you because you get to really live out things do go well for you, you know? So it was like, this is great. This is awesome. And so I played with him and some other friends for about a year and it just kind of continued to grow and branch out and sort of just kind of like grew to like love sort of every element of it, all of the actual play, Critical Role, all that stuff and all the podcasts and, you know, just kind of getting deeper and deeper, joining more games. And then I saw on Twitter Anthony posted that he had played like a game or played a one shot or whatever. He played some rogue or something. And so my eyes sort of lit up when I saw that. So I messaged him or sent him a text. I was just like, hey, you know, like I could run a game when we're up in Toronto, you know, at this point that was, everything was quarantined and we could do it over Zoom. It might be a good way to have people hang out or whatever. And he was like, oh, totally. That's happening. We're making this happen. So there were these like cast Zoom meetings where the cast would get together and check in on the off season. And at the end of every meeting, Anthony would go, so great to see you guys. Oh, by the way, Noah's running a D&D game. Who's playing? And so he just, and I was like, oh, well, I guess I am doing that. And so yeah, you know, it's just been a good way to get to spend time with people when you're not allowed to spend time with them in person, mm-hmm. To get to connect over something other than work, you know, because as great as the show is, it's a lot, you know, the hours are really long and it's grueling work. And you know, it's like, who wants to hop on a Zoom and talk about work after you've been working for 5 days, you know?
Yeah.
So this has been a really fun way to get people to hang out, to kind of create stories that they share, you know, the stories that you play when you're in playing D&D, they sort of become real in this weird way where you have this sort of like secret world with your friends, you know, that feels totally real. Mm-hmm. And so it's just been a great way to get to have that experience, because in the past, you know, Sonequid has been so great about organizing mafia games or parties or hangout or even just like opening night parties or closing night parties. People can't do that right now, so it's just been a great way for people to hang out. And it's personally, it's been a great time for me to get to know Blue and Ian, because I had met Blue once last year and I still mm-hmm. haven't met Ian in person actually. And I just getting to know them and getting to see what great people they are. I'm just really excited for their journey on Star Trek. And I hope that the fan base embraces them.
Yeah.
Because I think mm-hmm. they're going to be ambassadors for the group of new Star Trek fans who were sort of born after the Chris Pine movies and don't really have an entrance point
right.
into Star Trek, mm-hmm. you know, and they watch the first season of Discovery and they're, or the second season, they're like, I mean, I know who Spock is, but I don't have the emotional attachment to this. You know, I don't really know, you know, what the Klingon War is about. And I think, you know, this season and hopefully next season as well, I think it's going to be an entry point for new fans to be like, I know these people. These are the people that are going to let me sort of go into the sort of new Star Trek world. So I'm very excited to get to know them and excited for them.
Yeah, they've been fantastic this season. I was wondering, I think you said the game that you play with the cast is 5e, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Have you played any other systems?
I haven't. You know, I sort of, I'm so new to it, even though I've kind of like gone mm-hmm. all in, that I don't really know 3.5 Pathfinder at all. Mm-hmm. No, nobody talks about 4, so I miss that. you know, one thing, Sam Witwer made this book, The Art and Arcana, and he sent mm-hmm. it to me, and a copy to Anthony as well. And that sort of has like all the history. It's sort of like a visual history, and I'm just so excited to pour through that and get to like, you know, I feel like I'm sort of the new, you know, the sort of new people coming into D&D. And I would love to know more about sort of the past systems in terms of other RPGs. Like mm-hmm. I haven't played so much, you know, the obsession is sort of single-minded. I've dipped mm-hmm. a toe into Call of Cthulhu and Kids on Bikes and like Monster of the Week stuff, but mainly it's just been D&D. Yeah.
I was curious, although this might feel too much like work, have you tried to play Star Trek Adventures at all?
You know, I haven't played it, but one of Mary's close friends does run a Star Trek Adventure game with some of his friends. He works at Bethesda and, you know, they're, of course, that's like such a cool thing. So I haven't, but mm-hmm. I would not say no to it. Let's just say that. I think it could be very fun.
Yeah. I've been trying to get people to do a Star Trek Adventures game with me, but I'm just, yeah, trying to get a bunch of adults to have time for multiple D&D, exactly. like RPG games is
not an easy
not
thing.
The easiest.
Not an easy thing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and just being so welcoming to fans on Twitter. We love being able to interact with you guys, and welcome to the Star Trek family.
Thank you guys. It's definitely my pleasure. Thanks for having me on. And I'm so excited, and I'm just trying to enjoy the ride.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on. Thank you again.
Thank you very much.
Have a good one, you guys. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
You too. Bye.